Dear brothers and sisters, how are you today?
Wow, I like that new one. Not just excellent, but it's outstanding. Wonderful. You know, the message I'd like to share with you is an Overcomer's Melody, Part 1, Victory in Managing One's Emotion, you know. When I ask you, how are you today? Actually, I'm trying to ask you, how do you feel today? How's your emotion? Also, I want to ask you, when we were worshiping just now, how did you feel? I want to start with the worship leader. When you still here and the lead people, how did you actually feel emotionally? Exciting, okay. How about Rogelio?
Full of joy. Full of joy to be able to praise the Lord and worship.
Yeah, wonderful. I was very encouraged and inspired by our ushers, our next generation usher. When we reach certain place, for a certain spot, they were jumping and clapping, just so spontaneous. That's an expression of their emotion, joy, joyful. Amen? Is that wonderful? I think for a long time, we in this church, we try to invite our congregation to really open up to worship the Lord, not just with their reason and theology, also with their emotion. That's very important. You know, emotion is such powerful force in our life, right? When you start a day, wow, I like today. It's sunny. It's blue sky. It's beautiful. Or you start a day. I remember when I was in, I attend seminary in Chicago, you know. In winter, it's always the same. It's gloomy day. Every day the same. You cannot see the sun, you know. When it just starts snow, it's beautiful. Then become dirty. Just the same old, same old. So, in that city, in that area, many people become depressed in the winter time because emotionally they feel down. So we see that emotion is very important. However, we need to manage the emotion. Otherwise, the emotion will manage you. Amen? You have to control your emotion. Otherwise, your emotion will control you. You will just flow with emotion up and down, up and down. You know, I just want to ask you, how long usually for a roller coaster ride? How long usually?
Less than 3 minutes.
That's pretty long. So if we become very emotional all the time, you just, in essence, take a roller coaster ride every day. It's no fun. It is damaging to your whole body. Can you imagine? Ooh, how long can you do that? You're pretty soon. You know, so I think I want to share with you today is God give us a life. God give us a life is an overcomer. We can become an overcomer in Jesus Christ. I not try to criticize or ridicule anyone. I just try to share with you the reality. This emotion thing is very crucial to our happiness and well-being. We need to become the master of our emotion. Amen? It's not just, I'm not addressed to any person in particular. Just to share, we as a family, we come together to learn because God gives us a victorious life in every realm of our life. Let's see in my sharing today. First, we will see is in God's creation, He grants mankind emotion. You know, our God has emotion too. In the Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, So God created mankind in His own image. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed unto his nostril the breath of life. That man became a living being called Adam. When God created man, He created him in His image and likeness. In other words, when God created you and me, He put His essence in you and me. You know, we have intrinsic value. We are precious, not because we say we are precious. We are precious because, objectively speaking, God put something in us. He put Himself in you and me because He created you and me in his image and likeness. God is eternal, so men have a sense to seek eternal things. God has morality, so we have a sense, right and wrong. God is very creative. You know how creative God was? He created something out of nothing. Very creative. I see, it's not just being created. He has a creative power. Right? He said, there's light. There was light. But we human beings are very creative. You have the potential to be creative. You know, another way to describe this, being creative, is different way. Sometimes when you have limited resources, you become very creative. Amen? When you have all the resources, it's routine. Because you have this. When you have little, you become very creative. You know, there's a flip side of that. So we see right now here, we see that God created mankind out of the dust, right? That's the material part. That's the body. And then He breathed onto the nostril of that creation. His spirit entered that creation, and he became a living being. So a man consists of, the whole Bible also teaches us, a man consists of the body, soul, and spirit. So when we talk about emotion, managing emotion, we cannot forget about spirit. That's very important. Spirit is the most inner part of a human being. The most inner part. It seems very abstract, but it's very real. Amen? Just now, when you worship here, this God is a spirit. You cannot see Him, but you can sense Him with your spirit. Amen? It's not just emotionally you feel good, it's the spirit inside. You connect with God. That's why when a true worship, you will be refreshed. It's not just release your emotion. You connect with God. He is the living spirit. He will refresh you. He starts to change your perspective. Worship is very important. Worship is not a time we have 15 minutes, just wait for the next speaker to come up to speak. No, it's the time you encounter God. Your spirit encounter God's spirit. Also, when a person has been born again, on the day he was born again, the Holy Spirit come unto him. Right? So he has God's spirit in him. That's very important. And that's the foundation for today's message. If we want to control our emotion, manage our emotion, you need to build out your inner person. You need to build out your being, inner being, the spirit. It's very important. Our spirit affects our soul. Our soul affects our body. Soul is the function that connects spirit and the body. You have emotion. You have reason. You have will. Today you can be here because you decide to be here. And just now when you worship God, you have different kind of feeling. Right? That's the function of soul. But in order to manage our emotion, your spirit need to be strong. In order for your spirit to be strong, you need to be filled with the Spirit, filled with God. That's very important. That's my first point. That's very important. And that's the foundation for today's message. You know, emotionally, we can feel up and down, easily influenced by the circumstance, right? If you have a smooth day, you feel easy to feel good. When the weather is nice, it's easy to feel good. But your emotion can be independent of the circumstance. You don't have to be because your boss wasn't fair with you or whatever situation. You still can be joyful if your spirit is strong. And that's the rest I'm going to share. Your spirit needs to be strong. And the Lord is with you, and He's in you. The Holy Spirit is your great counselor and comforter. Many times, people don't know what to do. As a believer, you need to pray to the Lord, ask for His guidance. He will guide you through the Word, guide you for the inner confirmation. Also, He will give you comfort and joy, even in a difficult situation. I think the second thing I want to share with you today is one needs to manage his or her emotion, called emotion management. I already shared some of that just now. We know we have emotion, and sometimes this emotion can be very powerful. It seems sometimes out of control. I give you an example. When you drive on the freeway and someone just cut in very rudely, how will you feel, Chelsea? Hypothetical, maybe in reality. What kind of emotion is that when you say that?
Frustration.
Well, you're pretty modest. I asked the Mandarin congregation, they say angry, revenge, compete, and action. I said, oh, you need to manage your emotion. Yes. How about after a whole day work, a long day work, and you drive on freeway. It's a long drive, very slow. How do you feel? How did you feel? Only tired. Oh, that's very normal thing. Only tired. Again. I moved to Bay Area. This is my 29th year in the Bay Area. In those good old days, the freeway is real free. Zoo! You can drive freely. Nowadays, the freeway needs a deliverance. Very slow. Very slow. Any time now. Sunday afternoon, after the service, you go there, 1 o'clock. Oh, so slow. Very slow. You can prepare a sermon. You can iron your hair. You can design a house. You can do a lot of things when you get done. You are not home yet. So how do you feel the people in the Bay Area, their emotion? People along this I-80, I tell you, my background was, my major in college was urban planning. I tell you that the reason for this is very simple. The freeway, the land never increased, but the houses continue to increase along the I-80 corridor. So that's why they need to control. They need to have good city planning, period. That's my background. I saw that. Every time I see that, I was angry. I have emotion. I call this stupid. But the thing is very complicated, right? It's not. There's a lot of political things. So we do have an emotion there. It's very powerful. But that emotion need to be managed. Need to be under control. The more important is their emotion are negative emotion, right? How about anger, rage, jealousy, bitterness, frustration? I think we need to manage them. We need to change them. Otherwise, we let them continue to be in us. You will penetrate. You will start to influence our whole personality. Amen? You just become very pessimistic, very negative. Not because you want to. You probably even didn't know that because that negative emotion continue in there. So it's very clear that we see that there's a necessity of emotion management. It doesn't mean you deny your emotion. You know, a lot of guys, you know, we had men's group yesterday, right? We talk about, you know, men and the women are so different. Woman can sit down and start to talk and open their heart. Man, you cannot do that. You cannot ask a few men to sit down and say, what do you feel? Nothing? I'm okay. I'm cool. What do you mean, what am I feel? What kind of question is that? Men had to work together, right? They work together, they sweat, and they have hardship, they fight together. We serve in the military, you know. Remember I cover you? Oh, yes. They have emotion, but the way they are very different. But I've sensed that both men and women, they really need to learn to manage their emotion. Sometimes woman goes to another extreme. Everything is emotional. Freely to express. So free. Emotional managing your emotion doesn't mean you deny your emotion, press down. But also doesn't mean you can be freely express emotion whenever, whatever. No. Manage your emotion is mean we need to acknowledge your feeling, but you need to express in the way it's appropriate, it's beneficial. Amen? I give you an example. You go home, you have a bad day, you know, you go home. Then you yell at your wife, you kick the dog, you discipline your children. Your emotion being released. Chinese say, 好爽, so cool. But there's a consequence for that, right? Yes, you release yours, but how about other people's emotion? Oh, my goodness. He's... So I just give you a very silly example. But that's not necessarily. That's probably an expression of a million people. But, particularly living in the Bay Area, you know, long ride, and have a hard day, and the boss continue to increase your work, but never increase your salary. You know? They delay that, or they don't promote you. And so it's very frustrating. So we can see that definitely there's a need. We need to manage our emotion. So how to have victory in our emotion management? I won't talk about some foundation issue. First is we need to know ourselves, who you are, your identity. You know, this is a very important. If a person doesn't know or doesn't believe he is precious, he is worthy, despite his performance, achievement, he will always struggle. He will always feel he or she is not happy. The first thing you need to know is you are precious. You are worthy because you were created in the image and likeness of God. For a believer, even easier because you are children of God. Amen? That's intrinsic value. It's very important. This is so important. A lot of people, they struggle with depression, struggle with emotional instability. That's the one issue. You need to know your identity. You are children of God. You are precious. In the Song of Solomon, it says, even though I am dark, I am lovely. It means dark, you know. Nowadays, people, dark is beautiful. But in those days, you need to have fair skin. In the Chinese, in Asian, they don't want a fair skin. You cannot look dark. I mean, I do not mean the skin. I mean the person, you know, go to have sun bath. They look dark. But in the Song of Solomon, he says, even though my skin is dark, but I'm lovely in your eyes. It means even though in our life there are many darkness, shortcoming, weakness, sin, God knows them all. But God still loves you and me and accept the way we are. And that's attract us. Amen? That's why he attracts us. You know, the person we can open up is the person who receives us the way we are, I tell you. That's why I learned in the ministry. People don't care what you say until they know you care for them. Amen? You can say all the things. They say, who cares? Unless they sense you care for them. Amen? And when we pursue God, because we found out God knows everything. He knows every page of our life. Yet, he loved me. Wow. Many times our parents, our close friends say, how can you do this? I'm so disappointed with you. They start to reject us. Amen? But God say, I still love you. And that's very important. You need to know who you are. Also, personality-wise, temperament-wise, you can go online, you can do survey to find out what kind of type of personality you are. Because that also will help you to understand your emotional condition. We all have different kind of personality. The expression of emotion, the operation is different. Second foundation to a victory in our emotion management is we need to know the reality of life. What do you live for? I think this is very important. I think in the major metropolitan, globally speaking, it's not easy to live a comfortable life. I mean, physically speaking, financially speaking. Housing is very expensive, right? Well, we work so hard. You need to ask your question, what do you live for? For many Asian, for many Chinese, which is the congregation I pastor, a lot of children, younger generation, live for their parents. Do you understand? Or for their grandparents' expectation. You know, they live for people's expectation. May I ask you a question? When you live for someone's expectation, what will be the result? Yeah, that's one thing. Do you know who will be the most disappointed? It's you. I heard it so many times. I heard Asian American testimony. You know, my father only gave me three choices for my life: to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a successful businessman. There's no number four. If you do anything other than this, goodbye. You're no more my children. I heard many people share that. And the parents always say, I love you. Son, I love you. You cannot become a musician. You know how tough the life to be a musician. You cannot become an artist. There's no future. You will starve to death. I heard my father-in-law spoke to my wife. You cannot to serve the Lord. You become a beggar. Definitely cannot marry Joseph Tien. He will be a big beggar too. I have expectation of you. You need to become a doctor. You need to something can make money. That's the bottom line. So many Asian Americans, they live for their parents' dream. Because their parents can never fulfill those dreams. They say, we sacrifice our generation to accomplish you. You cannot do this for our sake, for our ancestors' glory's sake. So many people go into the career for their ancestors' glory's sake. They never like to be a lawyer, but they just become a lawyer or doctor. And then they reach midlife. What am I doing here? I hate this. I will become an artist. The parents were gone, so they live for themselves finally. Right? Your life, you cannot live for other people's expectation. Otherwise, you shortchange yourself. You'll feel, I never live my life. I always live for my mother, my father. Now they are gone. Why am I doing here? And another extreme is, I live for myself. Whatever I do, I will do. Then when you come to the end, you find out it's empty. You fulfill whatever, but you say, that's it? So disappointed. The first time I read the book of Ecclesiastes, I cannot pronounce that word. How to pronounce that? Yes, thank you for that. You see, first time I read that book, I thought this book was written by a monk. You know, the chapter one, vanity, 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 everything's vanity. Everything under the sun is empty. Wow. I heard a lot of teenagers say that too. Vanity, vanity. I said, of course, you had nothing. This was the king. Had everything. Most of all, he had wisdom. Right? According to the Bible, the wisest person ever lived. The way he ended up wasn't too wise. He himself said, even pursuit of wisdom is vanity. But when you read that book, you find out the thing is empty is under the sun. Everything under the sun is empty, is vanity. So, in other words, above the sun is something we can pursue, and the which is in the Bible, Colossians. You say, let's seek the things above, not seek the thing on the earth. There is Lord, and Lord seated there. What shall we live for? That help to manage your emotion. We need to live for eternity. What is eternity? That's a problem. Say, Pastor Joseph, you always talk about vague things, abstract things. You talk about inner spirit. Where is the spirit? You talk about eternity. What is eternity? So Cindy, you are the worship leader. You lead the worship. What is eternity? Never ending. That's good. I think God is eternal. So he gives us the sense of eternity. It will last forever and ever. Even though we cannot describe it, we know it in our spirit. We desire something more than this earthly life. Beyond this, right? You have BMW, you have a nice house, you have everything. You still feel that sense of void within you. It's very simple. How do you live for eternity? The great commandment. You love God with your whole being. And love your neighbor as yourself. You start to live for eternity. Because Jesus, the Lord, the King, God of universe, he say that. That's the greatest commandment. When you do that, you include the whole commandment. Whenever you start do that, you pursue God. When you let worship here, you live for eternity. With the right heart. Because you do this, God remember. We worship eternal God. We do something have eternal significance. When you have that perspective, you come to worship God. No more just, oh, because Pastor Tian called me, because I like the music only. Oh, I like the chapel, because the weather is good today. No, you come here because you love God. You live for something for will last forever. Amen? That's very important. Otherwise, you live for your parents, you live for someone's expectation, they live according to your emotion, you will end up with a very sad note. Just like King Solomon wrote. But he concluded well. In that book, he say, but one thing, we need to fear the Lord and do according to his commandment. That's one thing. His commandment is love him with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. When we start to live according to that, we feel our life has a purpose. When a person knows his life has eternal purpose, it's the best medicine for his emotion. Right? In the past, they say every 10 years, in the person's life, every 10 years there's a crisis. So they have midlife crisis. Now I see people every year have a crisis about identity. Who am I? When a society, the value system becomes so confused, people right now have a crisis about, are they a male or female? They change. That's a confusion actually in the spiritual world. It starts from there. May the Lord help us. We as a believer, we as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are as a born-again Christians. We live for eternity. Praise the Lord. We live for the Lord. Everything we do with the right heart, we do those things with eternal value. Do you know that? We had men's group yesterday. Ricky, I know you went home late. You prepare. You do all this. The Lord remember and count. Amen? You students study for the Lord. Then the Lord remember. Of course, you remember too. You have paid the tuition. Your parents remember. Your professor remember your grace too. But the important is the eternal one remember you, whatever you have done. Isn't that wonderful? Is that encouraging? Is that fill your emotion tank? Amen? So Cindy, you practice on Friday night. I heard that comes. And you led today, that comes. I prepared a sermon yesterday, very challenging because I had a very long day yesterday. And I went to a gathering in the Forerunner Church. It's assembly of the young people in the Fremont area. They call From March to May Day. It's a rally, about 20 college campus in California. They start from March, I think, 19 all the way until May 3rd. They, in each campus in different city, they come together to worship God, to declare one Lord, Jesus, one love, Jesus' love. So I went there. So I paid the price. I didn't have much time to sleep. I had to finish my sermon. But I'm happy. I'm joyful because I went there. I feel that gathering had eternal value. It's a care about what God cares for America, younger generation. Amen? Does this make sense to you? So when you have the right focus, even though you labor, even though you drive on freeway, it's so slow, even though people cut in, even though your boss doesn't appreciate you too much, maybe your spouse doesn't appreciate you. It's okay. We appreciate them. Amen? There's a purpose. So you say, Pastor Joseph, how about give us some practical step? Yes. Number one. Do not react right away if emotionally you have very negative emotion. Somebody cut in. You are late. The person is so rude. You are so angry. I want to ask you, how do you delay your anger to be burst? You say, first, do not react right away. Yeah, I know that. Pastor Joseph, I know that. Do not react right away. But I have a desire to react right away. How do we delay that? Can we have a brainstorm here? How can we delay that? I'm so angry now. Ooh, blah, 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 blah. How do you distract? You are in the car. You're trapped. Very smart. I tell you, do this. Deep breath. Breathe out all that anger. Breathe out. And bring Jesus and cry out to Jesus, Jesus, help me. Maybe you don't even mention Jesus' name. He knows. You say, help me. Only Jesus can help you. I feel this is very helpful. Really. I think before you react, pause 10 seconds. Come. One. Two. Three. The pastor said, if I can count that, I won't react. I really feel it. Everybody has different way. But you count. You delay, it's worthwhile to be patient for that 10 seconds. Amen? That's called wisdom. You delay, deep breath, whatever. Then you hold on. Secondly, ask for God's guidance. You pray that. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one, from the evil. Amen? Think about consequence. Try to understand that person. Maybe he was late. He's stressed out just like you are. He cut in. Okay, God bless you. Go, go. It's okay. There are several times I was driving locally. People coming in very rudely. I was not too happy. And guess what? And I, the traffic light, red light, and I saw the person there. I said, what's the point? You are so rushed all the way and come there. You see that? Sometimes, dear brother and sister, we take the thing too seriously. A theologian say, the problem with modern men is they take themselves too seriously. He doesn't like me. Look at the way he look at me. Why he treat me like this? We take ourselves, me, too seriously. Then we don't take God serious enough. Whatever God said, we don't take care. We don't pay attention. We just watch me. Sometimes just relax. It's okay. No big deal. You come. Okay, I'll let you. How soon can you go? It's so slow anyway. I really mean it. Sometimes just sit back and relax. you bring a lot of CD with you, right? Bring Pastor Joseph's sermon about, you listen to that. And then you bring the worship, you connect with the worship music, and you listen. Pastor Joseph, I had 1 hour revival meeting in my car. Praise the Lord. It's a perspective. Amen? We adapt to the lifestyle here. It's a not free way. It's a free way. It needs to be delivered. It's a bondage way. So slow. You ask God's guidance. You pray that the Lord have divine humor. He will say, okay, my son. Flow with it. It's okay. See? The person coming in and finally start at the red light, still the same. There's a prophetic meaning for that. Sometimes we rush for what? You make sure your goal, you live for eternity. C is to find a healthy outlet. What are some unhealthy outlets for release your emotion? Huh? Yeah. Some people start to eat a lot. Whenever they're depressed, they eat a lot. Some people don't eat. Wine, drug, pornography, or surfing on the web whole night, or play game, right? Yeah, it starts easy, but later on you have no freedom to say no, right? I tell you, there's a healthy and a good outlet is prayer. When you feel sad, feel lonely, you feel angry, you feel jealousy, you feel those negative feelings, is the best time you cry out, pray to God. You go to Book of Psalms. You look at King David's songs. Always cry out to God, right? God, help me! The evil people treat me this way. Do you know that? Open your eyes, God. Wake up. You go to read the song. Wake up, God. Wake up. Wake up, Rogelio. It's funny. You go to see King David's song. Very real. He showed his emotion. I tell you, I know there's a healthy outlet. You can find your good friends. You confide in him or in her. But I want to tell you, you cannot bother him or her too long, too often. Everybody have their emotional baggage. Difficult time. You cannot continue to tell that person. He will say, no thanks. You seek me and you find me, you cannot find me. I tell you, the safest and healthy outlet, you cry out to God. You talk to God. I really mean it. You talk to him. You talk to God, he understands. You start read and meditate on God's word. He will respond to you in the spirit. You suddenly realize the thing you're concerned the most is not that significant. No big deal. Dear brothers and sisters, many times it's our perspective. Amen. Healthy outlet. See the grand picture. I already say that. Many times the Lord will let you see all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, those he called to be transformed into the image of his son. I believe all of you, you're saved by God's grace. God called you to into a transformation business to become like Jesus Christ. If that's the case, even a lot of bad things happen to us, it will work out well for that purpose. Amen? All things work together. Everything has two sides. Nothing is absolutely bad to you. It's a perspective. E is renew your mind. I think if you go to the Bible, you see the scriptures say a lot about rejoice. Rejoice always. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a one God's will. You don't have to seek him. You can continue to do is rejoice always. Also, the Bible says the merry heart, a joyful heart, is the best medicine for all part of our body. Is that right? If you are joyful, you're healthy. Save a lot of money. Pastor Joseph, you say, that's a problem. I'm not joyful. right? I know you say that, but the problem is I'm not joyful. I just want to ask you why people are not joyful, or maybe why we are not joyful as a believer. Why? What bothers us? I tell you, one thing is you look at the wrong place. We always look at the problem, look at circumstance, and being overwhelmed, and our emotion continue to go down, right? You need to look, switch. I understand the problem. I already know. I don't need to turn my eye on my problem all the time. What does the Bible say? You turn your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. They say you become what you behold. You continue to look at money, you become like money. I'm kind of kidding to say that. You always think about money, right? You continue to look at Jesus, look at his life, look at his attribute, his glory, his splendor. You become more like Jesus. You continue to look at your problem, think about your problem, you become like your problem. Amen? We need to switch our focus. I think the Bible tells us to be joyful. The joy comes when you look at right place, look at the right person. Our situation always will be up and down. We cannot dictate. Our joy cannot be dictated by our daily circumstance, right? You cannot control that. The weather, how the your job situation, you only can do so much. But we have a choice to be joyful. I believe to be joyful is a choice. I choose to be joyful, because the Lord commands us, and I will cooperate with him, and his grace is enough for us. Amen? I think that another thing is important is forgive those who had hurt and offend you. This is about the hurts, the negative emotion. Someone wronged us, hurt us, we need to forgive. Also, another thing, the final one is, we need to submit our emotion to the Lord. That's very important. The Lord should be the Lord of our emotion. A lot of people say, I cannot control. Yes, you can control if you are willing to let the Lord control you. Amen? Not just our mind, but our emotion. I think for the woman, for many women, they need to submit their emotion to the Lord. They need to let the Lord, the Spirit, to remind them how to express their emotion. For many men, they need to open to realize, to acknowledge their emotion to be expressed. Amen? Neither both be balanced. I think another foundational thing is a long-term care. I think we need to build up our inner man. We need to daily read the Word of God and fill with the Spirit. I think that's a long-term care. If you build up your inner person with God's positive words on a daily basis, and filled with the Spirit, walk with him day by day, minute by minute, you have a foundation for a success in managing your emotion, because you feel being loved by God. You see things positively. Okay. It's the first Sunday of the month. We have the Holy Communion. I want you to I'll read a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 14. If we can stand up, we read this. This will be for our Holy Communion meditation. Let's read together. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. You may be seated. The first Sunday of each month, we have the Holy Communion. We used to do that together with the Mandarin group, but start from March 16, we have to separate that so we can meditate on the scriptures. The Holy Communion remind us who we are again, right? We are the children of God. Christ had done on the cross. He died in our position. Our sin can be forgiven. And I purposely invite you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 14. There's a case about Paul's victory. The key words is, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Our body of this person is jars of clay. But we have a treasure in you and me. Amen. We are broken, fragile, easy to be sick, discouraged. But we have treasure in us. And this Holy Communion reminds us Jesus had done for you and me. He is in us. And then he say here, but we have treasure in jar of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and it's not from us. And the verse 8 on, he described the situation. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. You know, every side, but there's a one side they cannot push us is up. We're surrounded by enemy, the problem, every side, but not crushed because we have God. Amen? Sometime in life, some season in life is very challenging. It's very discouraging. But remember the scripture we read today. You have treasure. You have Jesus in you. You have the Holy Spirit, the counselor and comforter in you. Even though you are surrounded, you are not crushed. Perplexed but not in despair. We don't understand many times why God allowed this. But we know he is in control. His way is higher than our way, than our thought. We expect something, we pray for something for a long time. Somehow it hasn't come true the way we expect. We are perplexed. Why? I believe we all experience that. Maybe you experience that right now. Persecute but not abandon. I believe we face persecution in this nation. Your value, it will become more and more. But we, when a person is persecuted for his faith, the worst thing he will feel is being abandoned. God has abandoned me? No. Apostle Paul experienced many of that. He said, struck down but not destroyed. It looks like you're destroyed, but not. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Dear brothers and sisters, I think that for the Western church, for American church, maybe one area we need to start to learn and meditate on is the suffering of Christ. It's how we face the suffering. Does life have a lot of suffering? Yes. Why did you ask that? Yes, I want you to see that. But we want to see that many times in our life as a believer, we need to join Christ's suffering. You don't suffer because you speed, you do evil things, you suffer. That's not suffer. That's called judgment. That's called consequence. If you do good things, you suffer. Apostle Paul explained all this because he proclaimed the gospel, not because he did evil things. You understand that? But he say that. That's he say, we have this treasure. You know, Jesus is the treasure. Precious. It's not slogan. Particularly in the time of suffering, you start to realize how much he suffered you and me. He gone through as the Son of God, came to this world, so pollute, so sinful. A holy God came to a totally sinful world. How did he feel every second? Like if you're a person, you like everything to be clean and neat. You go to a very filthy room, smell, disorder, chaotic, for there for 33 and a half. Jesus loves you and me. Praise the Lord. We have treasure in this imperfect body, imperfect person. Will show God's surpassing power in all circumstances. Amen? Amen? Okay. Can we line up and come forward to take the bread and cup and stand wherever you are, start to pray. Say, yes, Jesus, you are my treasure. I thank you for your work. Jesus, we thank you for this bread and cup. It reminds us, refers to your redemptive work. We thank you, Lord. It reminds us who we are. We are children of God. We are your children. We are not orphans, so we fear not. The Lord is our shepherd. We should not be in want. Lord, I just pray that today's message will encourage us that ultimately the foundation is you care for us, you love us. We have this treasure in our life. We need to discover this treasure more and more about Lord Jesus, his beauty, his glory, his teaching, his life, his promise for us. And what can be accomplished through him in our life. We pray for that, Lord. We thank you for the bread and the cup. We thank you, Lord. We love you because you love us first. We just pray, Lord, as we take this bread and cup, Lord, we make a covenant with you. We invite you to come to our life, to be the Lord of emotion. You become the anchor of our soul. We'll build our life upon your word as a wise builder. So when the storm comes, we will not fail.
or you help us. This prayer referred to Jesus' body has been broken for you and me. Let's take this prayer with a thankful heart. This cup referred to Jesus, the blood being shed for each one of us. Through his blood, we can be cleansed. We can be sanctified. Let's take this cup with a thankful heart. Lord Jesus, we love you. May you empower us to grow the love towards you. May you help us to live for eternity. Our goal of life is to live for a great commandment, to love you with all our being, and love our neighbor as yourself. May you bless the Holy Communion we took just now. May you bless everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We conclude our service here. You may join us for lunch.